Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about the Judge Roy Moore scandal. Roy Moore is a well-known conservative Alabama state judge. He is running for the state Senate seat, left open when Alabama's Senator Jeff Sessions was chosen to become the new U.S. Attorney General. The special election for this seat takes place on December 12th. The scandal is all about some women who have come forward claiming that Judge Moore acted inappropriately with them sexually when Judge Moore was in his 30s, back in the 1970s. Now, I'm not going to use this program to support the guilt or innocence of Judge Moore. None of us have an inside track to God letting us know whether someone is guilty or innocent. And I don't even have the evidence before me. We all need to be careful not to act like a judge or jury merely on the basis of media reporting. What you hear on the news is not evidence in a court of law. However, having said that, the people of Alabama have to vote. And so they do have to decide whether this testimony against the judge is credible or non-credible. And beyond that, there's the other issue of whether these crimes in question disqualify a man from being a senator. Now, the reason I'm taking up this issue is because this is such a great God and Country Radio teaching moment. How are we to weigh accusations coming from the biased media? The Washington Post, which initially broke this story, has publicly endorsed Roy Moore's Democratic opponent, Doug Jones. And I always find it reprehensible when a newspaper endorses a candidate. The objectivity that a newspaper is supposed to have is obliterated. How does the Washington Post expect to be believed if they're working for the opposition? Another issue that arises is, should we support candidates who hold to conservative values but have questionable morals? Does character and integrity in these things matter? And how can someone hold to conservative values and at the same time be a womanizer? So there's much biblical teaching that can be addressed in regard to the Moore scandal. Now let me again emphasize that I am not Roy Moore's jury. But right now, given the media reports and listening to the personal testimony of these women, it looks bad for the judge. And I think his current responses to these accusations have been rather weak. But nevertheless, we should all know from experience that tomorrow a new story might break and everything changes. It's really the timeless principle I want to discuss here. I mean, when I first heard about the allegations against Roy Moore, I was not surprised. Because for years, I have seen religious, moral, conservative people leading double lives. You find these types of religious people in churches. They campaign or they speak against pornography, against homosexuality, against sexual deviance, against financial corruption. And then you discover that they say things and do not do them. Sounds familiar? Matthew 23. And I know these people. I have personal experience in dealing with these people. And they easily fool the vast majority of new Christians. But the wolf in sheep's clothing will always have a zipper. Look for the zipper. And that zipper is usually an attitude of legalism, a patriotic conservatism that has a lot of arrogance, and the absence of the doctrine of the new birth. Christianity for them is law, do's and don'ts. And the law gives no power to overcome fleshly indulgences. Colossians chapter 2. So eventually, this is what I want to discuss today, to beware of these people. Not all who profess to be political conservatives or profess to even be Christian are genuine. And these people will hurt the cause of Christ, even the political cause, if they get into the place of power. Now, I don't know if Judge Moore is one of those people. Maybe I should make up a hypothetical political figure and use him as an example. But for right now, we do have Judge Moore in the news. People have to decide how to vote. So we have to ask whether Judge Moore is one of those sanctimonious frauds, or whether he is a righteous man being falsely accused in order to take him down. But at the very least, don't conclude that these accusations against Judge Moore can't possibly be true because he's against socialism or he's against the immorality on the left. Understand that there are two-faced conservative politicians and they're not harmless. They can do some great damage in the long term. But first, let's talk about why Judge Moore is so popular in some conservative circles. Moore made the news back in 2001 as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. He refused to remove the monument of the Ten Commandments in his court. Three lawyers in Alabama found the monument offensive, a violation of the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, and the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed and ordered the monument removed. Moore responded by stating that he doesn't recognize the authority of the federal court in this matter, states' rights. And an Alabama judicial ethics panel had Roy Moore removed from the bench. In 2006 and 2010, Moore attempted to win the Republican nomination for governor and failed. In 2013, he was again elected to Chief Justice. But he was suspended once again in 2016 for directing state probate judges to continue to enforce the state's ban on homosexual marriage in defiance of the Supreme Court, the Obergefell decision. And so Moore was again removed from the bench by a judicial ethics panel. And this year, Moore won the Republican primary to fill the Alabama Senate seat in this special election. So, Judge Moore has become popular with conservatives for standing up against the federal government's immoral rulings. And the sad thing is that all of the state representatives and all of the governors should have stood up against the federal government. Then there would have been a constitutional crisis, the threat of secession, and the federal courts would have had to back down. That would have set a great precedent. But the governors and the legislators of all of these states were unprincipled and cowardly. But there was one man who was willing to lose his job and to stand up for what was morally right, Judge Moore. He believed in biblical morality as the basis for national law and the defense of God's natural law concerning marriage. Now, here are the accusations against Judge Moore. A number of women have come forward saying that when Moore was in his early 30s, a district attorney in Alabama, before he was married, he used to ask out teenage girls. I think we're up to about 9 accusers. Leah Korfman stated that in 1979, Moore came up to her outside a courtroom in Alabama, got her number, and took her out twice. She stated that Moore undressed in front of her and began to assault her sexually. Korfman's testimony is the most alarming, but along with that testimony, the Washington Post reported interviews with three women who said that Moore dated them when they were teenagers, when he was in his early 30s. Wendy Miller, she was 14, working as Santer's helper at the mall when Moore first approached her, and then they dated when she was 16. Debbie Gibson says she was 17, when Moore asked her out after he spoke at her high school civics class. Gloria Deason, she dated Moore when she was 18. Then Beverly Young Nelson came forth. She said that as a teenager, she was working in a diner Moore offered to drive her home. He drove the car behind a building and began to grope and kiss her. Gina Richardson said that when she was a senior in high school, she worked at the mall and Moore asked her for her phone number. She declined, but he called the school where she attended and asked to speak to her. And she had to leave her trigonometry class and answer the call in the principal's office. And there on the phone, he asked her out. She relented. She went on a date. She said that he forcefully kissed her in a very inappropriate way. And she cut off the relationship. Becky Gray, when she was 22, she was working at the mall. When Moore approached her for a date, she said, "No, I'm dating someone." Gray said that Moore would linger around the mall to pick up girls, and she complained about him to her manager. Kelly Thorpe said that Moore asked her out when she was 17, and Moore said to her, "I go out with girls your age all the time." And then Tina Johnson claimed that Moore groped her when she was working at his law office in 1991. She was 28 at the time. Then there's also evidence that Roy Moore was banned from the mall because he was trolling for teenage girls and made the girls feel very uncomfortable. So these women are not political operatives. Some of them even voted for Donald Trump. But what we're seeing here is a pattern that Judge Moore, when he was in his 30s, was a womanizer. But even more alarming, a 30-year-old preying on teenagers. Now, every guy knows that that is not normal. Dating high school girls when you're in your 30s is twisted, especially the number of girls that he was trying to pick up. Now, Judge Moore has denied these allegations, but he has not provided any good explanation except that the public should not believe these accusers because they're politically motivated. They're just trying to destroy the Republicans' chance at the Senate seat. And that's not really a very good answer for these accusations. Accusations can be politically motivated and still be true. The accusations against Bill Clinton and the testimony of his accusers were true, even though there were political motivations to take down a Democratic president. You know, it's really hard not to believe the testimony of these women. The Bible says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established." And here we have the testimony of nine women saying that Judge Moore was acting strange when he was in his 30s. You know, I thought at the very least, Judge Moore would apologize for dating high school girls in his 30s. I mean, that is a fact. And I would have liked to have heard Judge Moore at least say, "Hey, when I was in my 30s, I was insecure. I wasn't thinking. But since that time, I've grown up. We all grow up in our moral understanding," but not a word of apology, which I find alarming. Good men tend to acknowledge their mistakes, even if their mistakes are overblown by their accusers. It's people who have something to hide who prevaricate. Now, politically, what's happening is that many conservatives on the right are coming to Moore's defense. As of this recording, I think he is up 8 points in the polls. Why? Because the attacks on Moore are being framed as the political left's attack on the political right. As if this is the Washington Post and the Washington establishment against Alabama conservatism. It seems as though Moore's campaign is deflecting these accusers by saying this is us versus them. So much so that some conservatives are saying, "I don't care about Judge Moore's past. I'm voting for him because this is just a hit job by the leftist media." And in many ways, the exact same thing happened in the Trump election. Many voters excused Trump's past because Trump positioned himself against the Washington establishment. And many voters said, "If you're going to have an immoral person in Washington, at least have an immoral person who holds to my values and is part of my party." And this is where Christians need to be more discerning. There are plenty of good men who could replace Roy Moore. And no, the left can't simply find people to make up accusations against anyone. These accusations against Judge Moore are unique. You see, the conservatives are supposed to be the party of values. We say that integrity matters. And we're going to damage our values if we're willing to elect candidates who are immoral in their private lives. Politicians like Kennedy or LBJ or Bill Clinton. And just because the left does it, doesn't mean that those on the right should abandon their standards. And yes, it is true that it is hypocritical of the left to be pointing out the sins of Roy Moore when they came to the defense of Bill Clinton and disbelieved his accusers. But just because the left is hypocritical doesn't mean we should be like them. We should hold to the moral high ground and not excuse the bad behavior of those people even in our own party. I mean, there's nothing more base than waiting to discover the party to which the accused belong before determining his guilt or innocence. And we need to think long term. If we put people into office who are disgusting people simply because they hold to conservative values, then we lose our moral authority. And we lose our moral authority to rebuke those politicians on the left, like Senator Al Franken from Wisconsin and his immoral behavior. Now, quickly, here are three arguments given to support Roy Moore. Some supporters say it was 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Well, that's fine. The American public is forgiving, and we know that people change. But Moore is not apologizing or explaining the mistakes of the past, which is a bad sign. Second, there is the argument we've heard during the presidential election, we're electing a senator, not a pastor. Well, even the prophet John pointed out that it was unlawful for Herod to take his brother's wife. And John lost his head over that comment. So moral character is important in God's ordained institution of government. Third, man is innocent until proven guilty. I mean, this is a he said versus she said situation. And we can't abandon our candidate every time the media reports an accusation. Well, that's true. But we have 9 witnesses. And if a good man finds himself in such a position, he should step down and let someone else run until this whole thing can be straightened out for the greater good of the righteous cause. There are plenty of men who could take that seat who are just as conservative as Roy Moore. Now, as far as evangelicals in Alabama, there's a split. Some evangelicals are now backing away from Moore, but Moore's campaign still claims to have the support of many churches and pastors. Not as many as you might think, but some are standing up for Moore, believing the accusations be false. On what basis? I think they believe Moore is an honest man, fighting for biblical morality. I've had a number of Christians tell me that they believe Judge Moore because he has a life that's spotless, 30 years faithful in marriage, endorsement by many good people in the community, a staff that believes in him. And here's the point I want to end on. From my experience, I am just as suspicious the moral character of politicians who fight for biblical values as those who don't. Now, that may seem counterintuitive, and that's why it's hard for many to disbelieve Judge Moore. But I have been fooled so many times by religious moralists that I'm quick to be suspicious of those who crusade for morality. I've come to realize there are 2 classes of moral crusaders. Those who are activists for biblical morality out of a genuine faith, and those who are activists for biblical morality out of some type of self-righteous legalism. Like the Pharisee who stood and prayed to himself, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Well, that man did not go down to his house justified. And the Gospels are all about those religious moralists who look good and conservative on the outside, but in reality are phonies. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Wow. They will look good on the outside. Jesus told us they would. But inwardly, they can be full of hypocrisy and lawlessness, so we must be very, very careful. So we Christians of all people should be aware of this class of hypocrites even amongst our own numbers. These are people who use self-righteousness to feed their ego, to find their sense of identity and purpose. They're crusaders for moral causes like the temperance movement, or the war on drugs, or the war on Islamic terrorism. But then it comes out that they have skeletons in their own closet. Either immorality or financial corruption, even using the moral crusade to solicit money and to get the power of office. And then those on the immoral left use such hypocrites as justification for their own corruption, saying, hey, everyone's doing it. At least we're not hypocrites. So in the long term, we lose our moral standing and our moral authority by supporting men who turn out to be hypocrites. Newt Gingrich having an affair on his wife. Mark Foley, conservative Republican, sexting male interns. Henry Hyde, who campaigned to impeach Bill Clinton, but was having an affair with a married woman on the side. Mark Sanford, conservative governor of South Carolina. Remember he was flying back and forth to Argentina having an affair with a woman? Bob Livingston, congressman from Louisiana. He had to resign over multiple affairs. John Ensign, senator from Nevada. A star of the Christian Coalition, a star of Focus on the Family, anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage, active in Promise Keepers. He said an adulterer like Bill Clinton is not fit to be president. But Ensign had to resign from the Senate in 2011 because he was having an affair with one of his staffers. I could easily list the names of at least 25 other conservative politicians who are leading double lives. Is this just weakness? Is it hypocrisy? Well, let's let the Lord decide. But practically, we can't support these men, and we have to be aware of these men. What we lose in the long term by supporting such men is far greater than what we gain in the short term. Better to lose the hypocrites than to ignore the warning signs and compromise to gain some political victory. Luke chapter 12. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with questions, comments, insights. I always love corresponding with listeners. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the testimony of your cause. Let that which is whispered in the inner room be proclaimed upon the housetops, so that evil would be exposed, so that the world will see that both lawlessness and legalism only results in more sin, more judgment, more sorrow, and so that the world would know that salvation only comes by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen.